Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Shower, shave, and coffee, it's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today, it's Dusty and Cam.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
You'll love your dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning! Happy Wednesday to you, the 15th of January, 2020. Dusty here, Cam Cleland. Mr. Cleland, how are you,
sir? I'm doing good. I'm good this morning. So you don't spend a lot of time in the kitchen.
What?
Which, in our kitchen, Buck, how often do you go in our work kitchen?
Oh, our work kitchen.
Oh, very infrequently.
Very infrequently. Yeah, and I go there every morning, and you guys know I make my own coffee.
Yes.
Because I'm kind of a... I'm not a coffee aficionado, and I'm certainly not a coffee snob, but I like what I like. So I open up the fridge today. Massive controversy.
Uh-oh.
Massive controversy inside the refrigerator. So I ask this for all workplace people. When you put something inside the refrigerator, is it communal if you don't mark it? And if you do mark it or you don't, do you ever get to the point where you stick a security camera inside a television, inside your refrigerator, because somebody keeps taking your coffee creamer?
Okay.
Now, this is high-level thing, and there's only one person I know that could have done this in the entire building that would have done that, to take it to that level. But I opened up the refrigerator today. There was a sign and a live security camera inside the refrigerator that said, "Do not touch my coffee creamer. I dare you."
Really?
Now, I'm not kidding you. And
wow.
I said, this is next level, because I was in college. We had six roommates. Good luck if you thought, like, putting something around in the fridge wasn't going to get, he won't notice if I drink his milk, and he won't know if I take his peanut butter. I had such an anal retentive roommate that he wrote his markings on everything with a Sharpie, just all over the place. Bread, jelly, eggs, everything. Mm-hmm. He just said, "These are mine. Don't touch them." So, you know, in college, you kind of, sometimes it gets a little communal. So I asked this, have you ever seen to the point of putting a security camera to make sure you're recording everybody taking your stuff?
The funny thing is, I have heard of people going to great lengths. Not, it's inside of the refrigerator? The camera is?
I'm not kidding. Go in it's there in the break. It's well, inside.
Hold on.
Inside.
But, like, I've heard of it being like outside. Like I've heard of workplaces, because this becomes an issue. They will put a camera outside of the refrigerator, just like in the kitchen.
Trying to spy. No, this is right in front of you. This isn't even a nanny cam.
It's going to be on our Instagram story shortly. I'm going to go check this out.
Yeah.
First of all, who is it that's who put the sign, do you think? Like, who do you think? You said it's you Jeff. Think you have.
Who else would it be?
Jeff?
No.
Which one? McGinley,
it's gotta
engineer?
Be, it's got to be. There's no else would have that kind of, first of all, the kind of gumption.
Oh,
but
I think
it would
there
have
are.
They have the technology, the access to technology. Now, it looked active. It might just be a funny warning.
So it's our engineer.
It's got to be.
And here's the thing. I don't think he's a coffee guy, though.
Okay, well, that's the thing, this is a huge mystery. We're gonna get to the bottom of.
That's show topic number one is getting to the bottom of this. Now, I am so intrigued by the fact that somebody went to those lengths. That's incredible.
It is incredible, and now, I thought it was. You know, there's always times in life where you go to the extra mile.
Yes,
you have to go the extra mile to do that. You put the nanny cam up because you don't trust the babysitter.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying.
Is it handwritten? The note?
Oh, of course it's handwritten.
It's handwritten.
In Sharpie.
So we can...
And the coffee creamer doesn't have any markings on it. It just says, dun, 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 not yours.
Oh, and so just not yours.
Just not yours. It doesn't even say whose it is.
Not yours.
Just not yours.
Okay.
Well, I wait till Buck gets back and he appreciates this.
There's a few people that I can bring this down to. Swigard definitely would not do that, but he may be the person that is stealing the creamer of said person. Uh-huh. You have to think of the big coffee drinkers that are in the building here, right? And I will go with, I'm thinking it's got to be one of the new salespeople.
Who has access to those kind of security cameras?
It's a young person's game, what you're doing right here. Yeah. Because all of the old Wiley veterans, they've been through this before, and they know better than to put something in there without clearly marking it before. So I'm going with somebody new.
Mm-hmm. Is it man's handwriting? You don't use it, but we have our own refrigerator.
Yes, we do.
And I happen to borrow that from some old constituents that were here that kind of just left it there. It was sitting there. I'm like,
squatter's rights.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are not going to use this anymore? Nobody's going to use it. All right. Well, I'm going to bring it over here and use it. So I have the small advantage of the mini fridge.
Yeah.
The mini fridge and the cubicle. And I make my own coffee. So you can't dare say it was me.
See, because I think a lot of people in the building will think that it is you because you are technologically savvy.
Yeah,
You are a personal space guy.
But I'm not a communal thing, so I'm not going to bring something in and put it somewhere where I know everybody's going to use it.
Well,
Buck, did you appreciate that or what?
I will also use my amateur sleuth work to tell you I believe that is Jeff McGinley's handwriting.
You do.
So it is McGinley's handwriting.
Yeah. See?
I don't think I've ever seen him drinking coffee, though. He's always been like an energy drink. And
it kind of matches the handwriting right here next to me that says headphones go here. So I think it's him.
Okay.
It's got to be.
Who would have done that? Well, one of my next guesses would have been one of the other new engineer guys, Joey or Lane.
I don't think they have the balls yet.
I don't think they do either. I think you're onto something with McGinley, then.
You don't come in. With guns blazing unless you're the big honcho.
Man. All right. 55305 text line. To answer your question, if you didn't buy it, you don't use it.
Oh, that's fair.
But if
you don't mark it, if you don't mark it and you think it's in the communal kitchen. Sometimes people will come in and be like, yeah, whatever you want, use it.
You hear about the California couple that was arrested for beating people up with bats because they left they would use a bait bike in their front yard. They'd put a bike in the front yard unlocked. And then when somebody came and tried to take it, they'd run out and beat them up with bats. Did you hear about this?
So wait a minute. They're setting somebody up to just beat somebody up?
Yes, and they would record it. They put it on YouTube.
They're just making videos? Well, they deserve to be arrested.
Well, the people that were doing this, but here's their defense. And their defense is, well, just because it's a bike that's in our front yard and it's unlocked doesn't mean you can come and take it.
I agree with that, right? But I also agree you shouldn't just go around beating people up with bats.
Well, so do I. I agree
that's
with that
what
as
the,
well.
What the police officers are for and the law enforcement.
This was like their vigilante justice that they were going off of.
You should get a one-off, though.
If there's a bike sitting in a front yard, you should not just go and take it, right? Just because it's there. Is coffee creamer kind of the same thing? You don't just go and take the bike that's in the front yard. It's not yours.
No, I totally agree. But that's also, if you just rode the bike around the area to get some exercise and came and dropped it back off, That's kind of what coffee creamer is to me.
That's what people do. Oh, well, you're going to put it back? Are you going to regurgitate it?
No, you can just bring your own. You know what? I use this a little bit. And I wouldn't do it. Say, I use this. I'm going to refill this. I'm going to go bring one, and I'm going to replace what I've used.
So now that is something in an agreed upon, maybe you come with an agreement. Hey, I bought the creamer. You buy the creamer this time. I'll get the next one. You know, we're going to go.
I just think you should mark your creamer.
Just mark it right away.
I agree. And then you should also hash mark it, like a little hash mark of where it's at, and do it in a clear bottle.
Ooh, like parents with alcohol when they go on vacation, leave you at home.
Yeah. I mean, if it's that, if that's, but this is next level. Jeff went next level.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to, we're going to do some investigative work here. A handwriting analysis in progress. Mm-hmm.
And you can help be a part of the sleuthing team if you follow us at the Instagram handle at 1080TheFan, because that is now on our story.
Okay. Well, we got a lot to get to today. One, cracking this code. McGinley's a P1, so he's probably listening right now.
Yeah, he's sleeping.
That man never sleeps. I'm sure of it.
I think I saw him in
Maybe
the
that's
rack
why
room.
He needs the coffee.
I like
oh, he's already here?
I saw somebody. I was busy hustling back, so I'm not sure who's
here. I like office controversies.
Okay.
Things need to be spiced up around here. It gets a little boring when everybody just walks around with their head down and goes, hello, good morning, hey. Hello.
All right. Well, now, once we find the person, then we got to find the creamer stealers, too.
Yeah, who are the creamer thieves?
We need to bring this workplace drama to an end once and for all. On today's show, in addition to Creamergate, Oliver Maroney, Big Three, and covers the NBA.
They had a big announcement.
They had a few big announcements. He'll join us in studio as he does every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Then we have our P1 social today. Is the brand of baseball tarnished? More news out of Major League Baseball, their investigation into videotaping, sign stealing, all that stuff. And as this text points out, hey, maybe we should call Alex Cora. He needs a job and he can figure it out for us. You know, he's good with cameras. He can go back and get all the footage for the Creamergate. We'll figure all this out.
Did you see what the Yankees are doing to troll the Red Sox?
No.
As far as the trash can, one of their minor league affiliates, they've already set up a promotion where they're giving away free trash cans for when they play the Astros. I believe the Astros and the Red Sox.
Why
teams.
Wouldn't you?
Perfect.
And you would
it's
do
minor
it
league baseball. Yeah. You have to do it.
You have
it's like
to do
for,
that.
Free to the first 500. You get a branded trash can that commemorates the cheating.
Of course,
and you know it's going to be a huge. Huge deal.
Spectacular.
I love minor league baseball giveaways.
Like, I also like pettiness.
Yeah. When you go to a baseball, when you go to a professional sports event and you get a giveaway, a lot of them are, you're just like, oh, great. What am I going to do with this thing? Baseball does it better. In minor league baseball, especially, they come up with some great ones. Because in baseball, you'll do bobblehead night, right? Like, you can get bobbleheads on bobblehead night of, like, your favorite player if you go up to T-Mobile Park. You know, I think I have a Robinson Cano one sitting at my desk from a Mariners game that I went to. But minor league baseball, they go, they have bobbleheads, Joe Boo. Remember when the Indians organization did the Joe Boo bobblehead?
They did. I don't.
Yeah, they did it. They did the Joe Boo from Major League bobblehead.
And we're not going to have Chief Wahoo stuff. Around much longer. In fact, I think it's done, wasn't it, right?
Isn't yeah,
Chief
he's already, he, they took him gone? Off the hat last year.
Yeah,
or maybe
gone.
It was even 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's gone.
So keep it up. That's the way to do it. Also,
it
on,
used to be the Cleveland Joe Boos.
Ooh. Well, that'll make somebody upset, too.
Would it?
Yeah.
It's just voodoo. Who cares? They used to be the New Orleans voodoo. They used to be an arena football team.
Yeah, but this is, appropriating... voodoo culture, you know? Can't do that anymore.
Why?
Then you're going to have a hex on your team.
Oh.
You know?
Well, okay.
That's basically how it works. All right. Also, we have Oregon. Did they find their new offensive coordinator? That will be discussed.
Allegedly.
Maybe. Someone maybe woke on the text line, by the way. Someone's saying it's a fake camera. You can buy a fake camera at Home Depot, and that a coworker pulled the same thing on them.
Yeah, so, I think you might can not buy a fake work. Camera, but I don't think Jeff is going to be the guy. If Jeff's that guy, it's not fake, man. You're going in there full guns blazing.
I like this.
But a conspiracy now.
Well, I like it. And then Luke Kuechly hangs it up early. So a lot to get to on today's show, but where we start.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this date in sports history, 1967, Green Bay defeats Kansas City 35-10 in LA, Super Bowl I. MVP, Bart Starr. Super Bowl I on this date in sports history, 1967. So we could have that rematch of the Super Bowl
we could.
This year.
We could.
In Miami. We'll find out. That would be the only rematch remaining as... The other combination of teams have never met up in the Super Bowl. Kansas City and Green Bay. All right, let's get to this Oregon offensive coordinator thing before we dive into baseball and is the brand of baseball tarnished. Did the Ducks find their offensive coordinator? Is Joe Moorhead heading to Eugene? Dusty and Cam on the Fan. Tonight we ride, right or wrong. Tonight we sail on a radio song. All right, it is 6:20. Dusty here, Cam Cleland. I am in 100% agreement with you. I believe that it was engineer extraordinaire Jeff McGinley who set up the camera and...
Gotta be.
Do not... I dare you to touch my coffee creamer. 100% agree. Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it. It's over the top.
Also...
Well played.
There's no way that that camera is working.
Yeah, you don't think so?
No.
You do, well, remember...
There's no cords, no wires, no lights, no nothing. You know?
Also, it's meant to just send a message.
Yeah, it's definitely meant to send a message.
Don't you dare do that again. It, not yours.
Big Brother's watching, but is it?
Yeah, there's no cords, wires, or lights that you can see in your home, but Big Brother's watching there.
Could be a wireless cam. Whoa. You guys, there are little, tiny little battery wireless cams that work on Wi-Fi. Don't be so, you know.
But this is the thing is that I know exactly where that camera used to be. The door that we go out of every morning when we leave after the show... That camera that's in there used to be set up on the filing cabinet and operational. They took it down. Oh, and so okay. I think it was just an extra
security.
One.
Security.
Yeah, it's like it looks like a 1980s camera there. So in agreement, we know who it is. Now we need to find out who's stealing it. This edition of Dusty and Cam Hardy Boys. In the morning, Wednesday, we'll
who
come
knew
to
the coffee creamer was a big deal. I knew it we'll was a big deal. It could be super, it could be high, very expensive.
Well, imagine if you go to get your morning coffee and it's gone. It's gone. Like you don't have the creamer. Ruined your day.
I understand. He's got to upgrade to his own little mini fridge.
That's right. All right. Yesterday, Brett McMurphy of Stadium reported some breaking news about Joe Moorhead. Expected to be named Oregon's offensive coordinator. Justin Hopkins of Scoop Duck. He said a short while after that his source had confirmed as well Joe Moorhead would be the next offensive coordinator at the University of Oregon. Moorhead fired from Mississippi State on January 3rd after two seasons as a head coach of the Bulldogs. But here come the conflicting reports. The Oregonian's James Crepia tweeted out that and wrote an article about his sources saying the search for an offensive coordinator is still ongoing and they have not settled on Joe Moorhead. But two guys that are pretty reliable on Oregon stuff are saying that it will be Joe Moorhead. Well, initial thoughts. What did you think when that news came out yesterday? Joe Moorhead, if it is, in fact, the next offensive coordinator.
Well, I'm going to trust the other sources, not that one source. That's just me. I'm going to trust the second sources that I've been known to trust some things. I don't trust that other source.
All right.
Okay. That's my thought.
Okay.
Did Joe Moore, didn't he interview for the Washington State job? That would kind of be my question. You know, I was listening yesterday. This is curious. Okay. The Dave Bartu was on with Isaac and Suk in the afternoon. And he's like dropping, I got my clients and I got all these things and I was this and that. And he dropped a little bit of a bomb that said that there's an offensive coordinator out there that we represent, but kind of should be the hottest commodity. Really, I want to push it, but blah, blah, blah. That Oregon won't allow him to.
He's a non-power five.
Yeah, but Oregon won't allow him to help out because he's paying. And I was like, you know what?
Wait,
I'm
what?
Very confused. Yeah, this is the thing. He's alumni. Dave's alumni. I don't think Dave doesn't really matter. Is he listening or not? But I was listening because I get enamored with this matrix of stuff that what he does. He's just like I don't know. Is he country nerd or something? I don't know. Just this.
Yeah, Bartu's a good dude, man. He lives out in Forest Grove, out in the sticks, and that's what he does. Yeah.
He's got all numbers. These metrics and all these numbers and all this stuff. What is taking Oregon so long? If there is an exhausted search of what they were doing, where there was conflicting reports, it means that all these guys in these search committees and these agents were shuffling very quickly. I think that Joe Moorhead was a hot commodity.
So it's been over a month since it was announced that Marcus Arroyo would be leaving for the UNLV job. The Ducks did their due diligence during preparations for the Rose Bowl, but it started in earnest, you know, after January 1, and they were Rose Bowl champs. So that may be why, you know, it's taking a little bit longer is the fact that, hey, you want to make sure you get the best guy and best guy available. And then Moorhead didn't pop up and become available until the 3rd of January. And this is kind of where taking your time pays off. You know, you don't want to rush to make that hire. before you get settled in and the coaching carousel ends, because Moorhead is, by all accounts, a great offensive mind. And what I found was very interesting is that when he was even let go at Mississippi State, the AD Cohen, he said, look, Joe is a fantastic person. He's a fantastic coach. They just didn't jive at Mississippi State. And he said, you know, it was kind of like, we wish him the best in whatever he does next. It just wasn't right for us there. And so
what do you mean by great offensive mind? Can we, for the listeners out there,
I said by all accounts.
Yeah, but I'm not discrediting what you're saying. I'm just asking, what do you think that means? Because there's a lot of that gets thrown out a lot.
Okay.
It gets thrown, because I can coach offense right now. Me, Cam, am I a great offensive mind because I know offense, or is it because you've been in the experience of being around, of leading a Penn State, being a former head coach? And you're saying is that offensive mind fits into the scheme of his mind. My question will be, this is Mario Cristobal's offense and his style and his fit. I don't know, when someone tells me this, offensive mind, how it meshes with the current head football coach, who has a style that is quite clear what he wants. So what do you think that means?
Well, in what you sit there and you look at with Joe Moorhead, remember, everywhere he's gone, there has been a elevation in offensive production. Okay. And I think that's where people go, hey, this dude, he's got it figured out there. His scheme kind of fits what Oregon does, because they are a little bit slower in pace.
So
they are
Big Ten.
they are not as pass happy. Okay. He will rely on his running game. He's in his stop at Connecticut. He was the offensive coordinator when they went to the Fiesta Bowl, right? He goes in at Fordham. They were, I guess, in the dumps at Fordham when he was the head coach at Fordham. And then they make it to the playoffs, I think, 3 years in a row at Fordham.
Yeah.
Led by a potent offense that was one of the tops in the FCS. He goes in and then gets hired at Penn State as the offensive coordinator and takes over an offense that, oddly enough, John Donovan, the new OC at Washington, they let him go at Penn State, and then they bring in Moorhead. And then all of a sudden you see Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley just kind of have this meteoric rise. Now, having Saquon Barkley is a big reason why that was so good and why they were so successful. So I think, you know, this is where the bright offensive mind comes in, is that you have Akron, Connecticut, Fordham, Penn State, Mississippi State. The offenses have gone in an upward trajectory once he's gotten on
campus. That's a fair comment. I guess when I look at a great offensive mind, I think younger now. Maybe that's me and my stigma of how my mind works, is when I think of an up-and-coming offensive mind, I think of somebody like what Joe Brady just got hired as the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, got stolen away out of LSU, which is, he's the youngest offensive coordinator in football currently in the NFL. So when I think offensive mind, you mentioned it, good players, having good guys around you. I don't know enough, and I'm going to dive more into what Coach Moorhead is, if he is the successor to what Oregon offense is supposed to be and elevate. Will they elevate and all those things? You would hope so, because they're going to have a great defense. Yeah. But if you just lost a current head coach, all these things about Marcus Arroyo, he obviously did something well enough to lead a team to a Rose Bowl victory, and then get a head coaching job, and then immediately you're going to get another former head coach and former not only Division I, but a really Power 5 coordinator. I think that's a huge upgrade. That's a monster upgrade.
And I think where maybe this Joe Moorhead conversation, you mentioned Joe Brady. Joe Brady is seen as an innovator, right? You know, these guys like Joe Brady, Lincoln Riley, Chip Kelly, you know, those types of guys are seen as innovators. They change the way that the offense is being played. Joe Moorhead is seen as more of a maximize the talent that you have guy, right? Like, his system is, he's not reinventing the wheel.
No, he coaches to the guys he has.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And I think that is, there's two things that this tells me. If Joe Moorhead is the guy, one, he is a slower paced guy. So this fits a Mario Cristobal slowing down the game. And we kind of see, was it Marcus Arroyo holding back, or was it Mario Cristobal saying, this is what we want to do and this is how I want my offense run? I think that we can kind of see,
I really
he
believe
wants
that
to kind of slow it down, right?
Yeah, I really do believe that, and I like that. I love that a head coach puts his thumb thumbprint on what he wants to do offensively, especially building around the offensive line. If you don't have that, if you're just going to be the delegator and just says, I'm going to stand back and just be the figurehead of this group, I don't know. I don't think very many head coaches want to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what I really love about Coach Cristobal is that it is his thumbprint is everywhere on this program, and he doesn't deviate off the path.
And this is kind of this is a big transition year for Oregon. Obviously, four new starting offensive linemen. You're replacing Justin Herbert. Juwan Johnson, one of your biggest and most reliable targets, is going to be gone offensively as well, right? When he was healthy. Okay. And this is from a Bill Connolly article from SB Nation. He said, it's called an optimistic offense, one that has baked in as much flexibility as possible, both in tactics and quarterback empowerment. Okay. That's how he mm-hmm. describes his offense. Okay.
I like that. I like the sound of quarterback empowerment, because if you're not doing that in today's college football or any football, you're probably running the wing tee.
Yeah.
Or your old Georgia Tech.
And that is kind of where you're sitting there going, in this big transition year for Oregon's offense, it is you have a guy who is known for his flexibility offensively, where you look at the different kind of players he's had. He is our quarterback. He runs the show. We're going to let him thrive or let him kind of make the mistakes, and we're going to grow with it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing to have, man.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully he's announced, and it isn't the sources are the sources.
The sources are the sources.
Sources. Sources tell me that I should listen to more sources.
We'll dive more into Joe more. Joe Moorhead as the show goes on, and let you know if it does become official at any point during our show. But coming up next is the brand of baseball tarnished. How can you fix it? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Went to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
Text us at 55305. I'd love to berate you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive? No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
All right, 55305, that is the text line. P1 Social today, is the brand of baseball tarnished, and how can Major League Baseball fix it? The sign-stealing saga is continuing. Yesterday, we talked about the Astros' punishment being handed down, loss of first and second round picks over the next two drafts, a $5 million fine. AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow both suspended for a year and fired. And then yesterday afternoon, the Boston Red Sox fired Alex Cora, World mm-hmm. Series manager in 2018. He was the bench coach who is implicated in the report to the Astros as the guy who kind of initiated the surveillance from center field and using a video camera for the sign stealing. They fired him after talking to Major League Baseball, and we are going to have back-to-back World Series champs 2017 and 2018 caught up in this scandal, because Major League Baseball's investigation is supposed to come down just as hard, if not even harder, on Alex Cora and the Red Sox.
Some of the reports are that the owners are not happy with what Rob Manfred handed down to both Houston and now currently. We don't know in detail what will happen to Boston. We do know they fired Alex Cora, so that doesn't really matter. At this point, he's done, and his legacy is tarnished, and probably so is AJ Hinch. I don't know if he'll ever manage again. How could you deal with that? I don't know. I mean, being a year out of baseball and losing, I forgot what is Ludlow or Luhnow. And he's out too. So I don't know what Major League Baseball could have done under the bargaining agreement, because maximizing the ownership, which is $5 million of a fine. The issue is that Major League Baseball didn't want to go after, with the Players Association, go after current sitting players that have done it. Mm-hmm. Now, I said this yesterday. I said, if my coach or my guys as a professional told me to do this, and I use the core of taking it was hard for me to admit this all the time, because taking pain pills is something that I regret like there's no tomorrow, and all right. The Toradol and all the muscle relaxers. It pains me to think that I did that to play, but that was recommended to me to do because they said everybody was doing that. If your coach said that and you felt it was, did I feel that was cheating or bucking the system at the time? Yes. And I'm still disappointed. But at this point, if you watch and you can see these players and some of the best players were using this. Should the players be implicated in this punishment? Are you afraid if you're Rob Manfred, if you go after and tarnish the players? Because coaches, you're like, we can find another bench coach. We can find another manager. Managers aren't the focal point of teams. Players' faces are, and they're trying to grow a brand. Was this a fear factor? Was this afraid to really implicate players and start putting them behind? Or was this afraid of, like a lot of guys are, a lot of professionals are, and a lot of leadership is going after unions.
And that's what it is. He didn't want to put up with the fight of going up against the MLBPA because, you know, the reports are that, you know, in previous instances of the league handing down punishment to players like this, it would be a years, plural, long battle with the MLBPA. It would get legal. It would be a harsh fight. It'd be hard fought if you go against the union. And as he said in his announcement, most of them are on other teams at this point. And that becomes just a whole other thing, a whole other ball of wax of what do you do with their salaries if they're implicated for something they did on another team. That just doesn't seem to sit well with a lot of people because of the fact that those were the guys that were relaying the messages and using the information.
To me, this is worse than, of course, in my year, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in baseball. Steroids don't even touch this because at the time, and I'll say it again, steroids were legal. Everybody was using that. They were not punished by Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball didn't even try to find a way to stop them. They're just like, guys are taking it. Doesn't really matter. This is different. This is blatantly knowing. And of course, other owners are upset at Rob Manfred because he told those owners, this is the reports. This is ESPN's baseball report. I think it was Passan said it specifically that they said, wait a minute, you told us this was going to be bigger. And then he handed out 1 year suspensions and $5 million. Well, $5 million, is that a drop of the hat for billionaires? We throw $5 million around. It's not much. I mean, when you're a billionaire, that's not a lot of money. It's still a lot of money. It hurts. What hurts is losing your draft picks, which maybe in baseball that hurts for 2 years, your first and second round picks for Houston.
It won't hurt now. It'll hurt 5-6 years from now when those guys work their way up to the bigs, though.
Yeah, I don't know, but because those players that would have been drafted by Houston will definitely have been drafted by somebody else. What could have been done? What should have been done? I'm asking the opinions of the listeners and fans of baseball. Could it have been worse? You just fired your manager and got a GM.
Well, and also vacating the title doesn't do anything either.
Well, I'm not going to that extreme. I'm just asking. This is as bad as it gets for baseball.
Here's the thing,
the modern era.
Here's the thing with the $5 million fine, though. Think of the hundreds of millions of dollars that the Astros made off of that World Series.
I can't imagine. I don't know the numbers.
Just think of it. Like, I went to Game 3 of that World Series in Houston. Mm-hmm. I bought a Josh Reddick jersey with a World Series patch on it. Do you know how... And they sold out of jerseys during that Game 3. Do you know, like, just by having a World Series patch on it, it was like $30 more for that jersey. Yeah.
Markups.
I mean, you think of the ticket sales that they made, the branding, the season tickets that they sold for the next year. $5 million is nothing.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
I'll leave you with this text line right here. This is as ruthless as it gets, and I might be on this side. I'd have to think about this, but I might be on with this texter. It says, what the MLB hands down is not a deterrent. They should lose their rings. I might agree with that.
All right. We'll talk about that. 55305, the text line. A lot of text coming in right now. We'll get to that next. Is Major League Baseball and the brand of it tarnished? How do you fix it? Dustin Cam on the Fan. I just want to celebrate another day of living. All right. 55305. We're talking the sign stealing scandal in baseball, Astros and Red Sox.
Really good text, guys.
Is the brand in baseball tarnished? How can you fix it?
Yeah.
What should baseball do?
Some great feedback. And this is maybe lose their rings. You can't punish pitchers for it. They went out there and pitched their heart out. So get their rings stripped is going a little overboard. It might be a little overboard, but how do you hurt players, or how do you hurt or show somebody that this is, it's wrong, it's unacceptable? I mean, should you strip them of a World Series? Should you put an asterisk by it? What makes this feel better? I mean, those of you that say the home run guys, they said you're not letting them into the hall. So do these guys don't get into the hall?
Yeah, well, maybe that's what it does. We know the gatekeepers of baseball and how they handle it, and this is the problem when Rob Manfred refuses to go after the players is that, okay, who do you not put in the hall then, yeah.
Right?
You know, and here's one of the problems, like taking the rings, as you said, and this text said, vacating the title doesn't do anything, but at least they'll have never been recognized as champions because they don't deserve to be. And we have, you know, all of these things where sign stealing is something that the technology of it is what people are upset about, right? And I brought this up yesterday, and I know that ESPN has been rerunning it, but, you know, Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world to win the World Series, right? Do they go back and retroactively take that one away because there was a sign stealing back then in the 1951 World Series? And
but they didn't use technology, Dusty.
They did. They were using the scoreboard lights to signal pitches that were coming in.
I guess you would consider that technology of that era. But this seems so... Maybe I just go, I look at that and I go... I don't know. This isn't my era, so I wasn't alive at the time, so right. I don't have that kind of concept. I can't go back to the Black Sox. I can't go... Mentally, those of us that are in this era have to look at it with I'm trying to stay in my lane here. So we can there's always ways to find exceptions. What I'm trying to say in today's world, with the amount of talent that baseball guys throw 97 to 100 miles an hour, they're bigger, stronger, faster. For God's sakes, they're making almost $500 million in contracts. This isn't the 1950s. Okay, this isn't guys having to work multiple jobs just to be able to play baseball. So we're in a different concept. So I asked that. I go, where to the point of winning do these guys think that that was okay? I know win at all costs and get there, but is baseball making a mistake by not punishing this more? I've never seen a major league team or any professional team have a postseason ban, which is one text that this person said, maybe you should just get a postseason ban for 3 seasons. I've never seen that.
Hey, you know what? That is actually a really good one. Because if you look at it too, look at the World Series odds and the title odds that are up there right now. Yeah. Why not say, hey, sorry, Red Sox and Astros, no matter what you guys do this regular season, you ain't going to the postseason.
Yeah.
And if you tank and you suck, guess what? You're not having a high draft pick either.
Yeah, this text says the penalty has to be heavy-handed enough so that it never happens again. The title needs to be stripped from the team. Both teams. I agree with that. I saw, you know, there was a Twitter poll up the other day in us Mariner fans, and it wasn't by me. I think it might have been some people up north that said, would you have done the exact same thing if you said you could have a World Series? And I think the poll was, the poll might have been, I got to look at it. I think it was Dave's, I think it was Softy's. It was someone around like 60-40. Yes, we would have done that. Really? It goes to show you where even his fans are at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
you would really want that. No, I'm just asking this straight up as a fan, not you, but anybody out there that's listening, would you really want that? Except knowing that you would get caught later down the road? Can you sleep at night with that?
Well, it's the players and the coaches that have to sleep with it at night because fans are a different breed. Like, and this is like the question that I've gotten a lot is, you know, how does it sit with you? It's like, I still love the Astros because I was a fan of them before any of these guys were even on the team. And I didn't do any of this and none of the fan base did. It was the players, it was the individuals themselves. You know, it sucks and it's horrible, but you know what? I'm still going to be a fan of the team because it's the Astros that I like.
How do you not punish the players though?
I don't get it. I do not understand.
I mean, I know.
Because you're afraid, right?
I don't know. What I don't know is Rob Manfred is the employee of 30 owners. And if some of the owners are upset with this not being heavy-handed enough, they're all billionaires. Remember, this is an exclusive club of 30 people that are multi-billionaires. And do you think that if some of them are unhappy, do you think this is going to go over well? Boston might get it even worse. I don't know how you get worse, but these players have to be punished some way, somehow.
Yeah.
Although, excuse me, it seems like they're going to be punished just by reputation alone.
Right.
It feels like that. How many I've seen Twitter full of the Jose Altuve cut of him hitting a home run off that slider.
Yep. I mean,
do you look at him as the same batting champ if analytics will tell you that he hits better at home than he does on the road?
Well, home field advantage, I mean, being at home, if it's a stark contrast, which it isn't that big of a contrast. Well,
they've shown the analytic of it. Well,
yeah,
it.
He is better at home, but most hitters are better at home.
Well, I don't know. I don't have that numbers in front of me.
I mean, they are. But that's just kind of... Well, most hitters are better at home in their home road splits because you're sleeping in your own bed. You're going through your own routine at home. And I don't think the players will be tarnished as much as the franchises will. And will it all be forgotten at some point in time? That is what I think Rob Manfred is banking on, right? Is that at some point in time people will forget.
I don't have that answer.
And they're not right now.
Yeah, this is, I think taking away a World Series trophy from them and removing that from the record is the only way to not only just kill this dead, like this, that would be like, oh my gosh, we're never going to be recognized as this. This is gone from history. Now, it'll always be there, but it's kind of like the 2005 and looking at Reggie Bush and all that group.
Yeah, but as
that hurts. Don't tell me that doesn't hurt. That hurts.
As I mentioned, are you going to retroactively go out and do it to teams of the past that have also been accused and caught?
Well, Rob Manfred is the commissioner of today's game, not the past. He is responsible for everything that he is governing over from the time that he stepped into office. I don't think you can go back. Even Pete Rose looks bad. He goes, could he bring Pete Rose back in? Sure he can.
This is a great text, and it's a good question that I have. All it would have taken to stop this is one player saying something to Major League Baseball, and it probably would have hushed and stopped, and we'd know nothing. But every batter benefited here and said nothing then and now, so they're all guilty. And that the thing that is mind-blowing to me, and which makes me think that it isn't more widespread, is that guys were coming and going from the Astros, and they never said anything. Why Mike Fiers? Like, Mike Fiers is the only guy that said something. Why didn't anybody else speak up? Like, that is another question.
They want to keep their job. They want to make money. They don't want to get in the way of
everybody. It's wild to think about, though.
Well, they're rats in a sense. I mean, it's a fraternity of guys. Nobody wants to be the rat, especially the high paid rat.
55305. We're gonna get to more of this as the show goes on. Plus, a guy hangs it up. Some saying far too early in the National Football League. Hot and Cool is next, though, on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.